Hello everybody and welcome back to 100 Years, 100 Movies. Today we're jumping back to the 1930s, talking about the year 1931. 1931 for me is one of those years that I have a hard time paring down to just a couple of movies. Because talking about like how the 30s for me boiled down mainly to crime movies and horror movies, 1931 is an all-timer for both. So I just want to real quickly just spotlight a couple of movies that came out in 31 before we get to the movie that we're going to be talking about today. 1931 is also a time before the Hays Code, and I think Night Nurse is a movie that just kind of shows the insanity of ideas that were okay during the 1930s before the Hays Code. Night Nurse stars Barbara Stanwyck, and for me this movie boils down to the fact that Clark Gable in one scene knocks out a man who is trying to have his way with Barbara Stanwyck, and then when Barbara Stanwyck refuses to help him out with someone who needs their pump exam, he punches her in the face too. The fact that there's no way that would happen nowadays. We also have The Public Enemy, which is maybe my favorite of James Cagney's movies, but I think what everyone remembers from that movie is he shoves a grapefruit in his sister's face in that one. We also get Little Caesar, which is another little violent little Edward G. Robinson, film noir. We have Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde that also comes out in this year, which is not a Universal Monster movie, but is a horror movie with some great makeup effects. And speaking of Universal horror, 1931, at least for the classic movies, it marks the beginning, because 1931 gives us Bela Lugosi in Dracula, also the Spanish version of Dracula, which was shot on the exact same sets at night, which is, believe it or not, superior to the Bela Lugosi version, and it gives us the movie that we're talking about today, and that is Frankenstein. So I've been talking on and off about Universal Monsters in different areas, but Frankenstein, I think, is the best out of all of them. The best made one, the most impactful one, and a movie that, unfortunately, because it was such a trendsetter, the impact of this movie has been lost over time. I'm going to kind of take this as an opportunity to talk both about Frankenstein and Dracula. So Dracula, it's iconic, but really, as I mentioned, the Spanish version is superior to Dracula, because Dracula's all right. What elevates that movie is Bela Lugosi as Dracula, a role that he had played on Broadway. He had played on stage, and so he was down pat for that. And Bela Lugosi's great. His Dracula has become iconic for a reason, but just as iconic and just as great is Boris Karloff in Frankenstein. And there's lots of that. One is Karloff's work as the monster, Colin Clive as the very unhinged Dr. Frankenstein, and also Jack Pierce's wonderful makeup for the Frankenstein monster, which is super iconic. And this movie is just great. As I mentioned when I talked about The Bride of Frankenstein, that sequel really completes the story that's in the book. To a certain extent, if you're familiar with the novel Frankenstein, it ends up in like the Arctic. That doesn't happen in The Bride of Frankenstein, but this movie really focuses on the first half, which is Colin Clive daring to create a monster and to be God, basically create life. And like I said, I think Colin Clive's like his over the top style, it unfortunately has been parodied so much. I think some of that impact is lost. The Tesla coils, the look of the laboratory, which was straight up recycled and used again in Young Frankenstein in the 70s, which is a great send up of Universal Monsters, specifically the Frankenstein movies. But this movie's great. Boris Karloff is amazing. And just his movements, like he almost plays this like, because he's in makeup and he's playing a character who doesn't speak, he almost plays it as a silent movie character, and not that far removed from silent movies either. So this is just a great movie. These two movies, I think, really establish just what the Universal monsters are, and I can't even fathom what, because a lot of the horror, a lot of the violence seems kind of quaint by nowadays, by standards nowadays, but at that time period, 1931, I can't imagine how frightening this would have been, or how people would have reacted to this. But this beginning, just like everything, I think from the get go, like even the use of something like Swan Lake over the opening credits, which was reused for a lot of, it was used in Dracula and reused for a lot of different Universal monsters, to the point where when I hear Swan Lake, I think of Universal monsters. I don't think of of the opera. This movie, like I said, if you're gonna watch any of the Universal monsters, you should watch Frankenstein. It's super enjoyable. It's just wonderful. It's a great movie. The other movie that I wanted to talk about is Fritz Lang's M. M is this great little crime drama, precursor to film noir, directed by Fritz Lang, and starring Peter Lorre as a child murderer. This movie is kind of nuts. Like, just kind of going back to like how before the Hays Code, even though there was restrictions, Hollywood could kind of get away with anything. And to be fair, I think this movie was actually made in Germany, not Hollywood. But regardless, it came out here too. Peter Lorre, like I said, plays a child murderer. The police are on a manhunt, and when they have trouble tracking him down, the police end up teaming up with the criminal underground in order to find this despicable child murderer, Peter Lorre, who has like this frantic energy, and who just, he has this look about him where he just looks like walking scum, and I don't think his voice really helps, where it's high-pitched, it's annoying, and it's perfect for this role, and Peter Lorre is great. Like, I don't want people to think that Peter Lorre is a shitty actor or anything like that. He's actually great as an actor, and I think he uses those things to enhance his characters. But if you want to just make someone hateable, there's few people better that you can choose than to cast Peter Lorre, especially for this particular role, like I said, of a child murderer, and someone who in the movie doesn't really show remorse until he's caught, because he knows he's caught, and he knows that he's fucked at that point. This movie's great. This movie, like I said, it's I guess it would kind of, a lot of the movies from the 30s would be kind of considered like proto crime noir, film noirs, more crime movies, gangster movies. This is a gangster movie, but it's from the point of view of somebody being hunted by everybody. Not so much about crime like you would see in something like Little Caesar or The Public Enemy, which I mentioned from this year. M is definitely worth tracking down just to see. Just this great little crime movie. Once again, this Fritz Lang, so we have a lot of striking visuals in it. But for me, Peter Lorre really, really puts it over the top. And Peter Lorre goes on to have this great career as a character actor. He's in a ton of movies, everything from like The Maltese Falcon to Casablanca, to later on horror movies, even doing radio, which is what a lot of these people did at the time as well. But M is just a wonderful movie. But honestly, if you've never seen Frankenstein, and I feel a lot of people haven't, because while these looks are iconic and these movies are iconic, they're also, 80 years old. Track down Frankenstein. I mean, not that it's difficult to track down, but do yourself a favor, check out Frankenstein. Thank you for listening. At this point, I just want to point out that with this episode, we're 3/4 of the way through this journey of 100 movies. So just thank you for the time, and we'll see you next time.